Psalm number 51. We're looking at the entire psalm. And I think we know something if we've been in church for a period of time in our life, that we know that God wants us to be revived spiritually. God wants to bring revival to America. God wants to bring revival to churches. And during family camp, God wants to work in our hearts. And I was up a couple of weeks ago at a meeting up in Temple with Dr. Rick Flanders. I was just there for the one evening. He preached at Pensacola Christian College many times, and I heard him there when I was going to school there. And a good, strong revivalist, and that he believes the Word of God stands straight on things. And one of the things that is important to know about revival, so many people look at it as a mystical thing, as something that just spontaneously happens. It is something that God wants to do for us right now, that wants to do for us tonight, but will we get out of the way? Revival doesn't come because of what's in our life and what's in our hearts. And are we willing to get them right with God? And tonight we're going to look at a formula in Psalm 51, a psalm that David wrote, and we'll see how David experienced revival in his life. But a question, do we truly desire revival in our hearts and lives? And tonight I pray that God uses this to prepare us for family camp and prepare us for revival. We need to be reminded about this. I need to be reminded about this. One of my favorite things to do is I like to listen to messages on revival. And I've been listening to many of those of late, last couple of months, and just really learning some things and putting some things in there. And some of those things will be in the message tonight. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 51. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, read down, we'll read through the first part of Psalm 51. So have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this message tonight. And Lord, it goes to the core of our being, the core of what we do. And Lord, I pray tonight that we, if we are unclean, dear Lord, that you would purge us, as your word says. Lord, that we would confess it, that we would lay it aside, that we no longer hang on to it, Lord. I don't know what's in hearts tonight, but you do, Lord. You led me to this message for a reason. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done tonight. Give me the words to say. Oh, Lord, I need this message. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be stirred tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The message entitled, Are You Ready? Are you ready tonight? Now, as we see in Psalm 51, we see a progression. We see a starting place in David's life, and then we see a progression toward being right with God. And in a moment, we're going to get to the end of the chapter. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I'm going to go over some fundamental things. But I want to concentrate on the last part in regards to sacrifices to the Lord. So how are we ready for revival? How are we ready and to be right with God in the right place? We're ready to go. We're ready to be used by God. Number one, we must acknowledge our transgressions before God. All through this chapter, we see that David is admitting over and over and over again that he has transgressed God, that he has transgressed, he has sinned against the God of the Bible. He has sinned against his word, he has sinned against his command, and we see over and over again he confesses that. You know, many times we're lucky if we get to confess that once. If we'll come to the point we're humble enough to confess it once and admit it once, David just over and over again was broken over his sin. I don't think you can read this and should say that David wasn't weeping as he was writing this, as this was his prayer, that he had a heart of brokenness, as we see later on in the chapter. That is the most important thing to God. You know, we can come to God and we get convicted about sin. We hear a sermon, we come forward and we bow and we pray a prayer and we do the Baptist ritual. And we pray a little prayer and we get right, we feel a little better. But there's no brokenness and no genuine sorriness and genuine brokenness over sin. You know, that where we have sin in our life, we have sins that lie there, are we broken over them? Anything that goes against the scripture and commands of God is sin. Anything. Well, Pastor, that's not what's accepted in our culture. Doesn't matter if it's against God's word, if it's in here and the God says don't do it and we say, well, I'm doing it anyway because everyone else is or because that's what's popular or I just don't see what's wrong with it. You know, we hear that a lot. I just don't see what's wrong with it, Pastor. I just don't understand. I don't see what's wrong with country music. I don't see what's wrong with rock music. I don't see what's wrong with all of these things. God says it's wrong. Amen? And that should be end of discussion, but it never is it? When someone asks those questions, it never the end of the discussion, then it goes on and on and on. And you know what? That should be the end of the discussion, that we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not to take the things of the world into our lives. We're not to do those things. We're not to be unequally yoked together in things that are not godly. And we learned that from Brother Robertson the other week, and we were encouraged in that. And, you know, we see that, so, well, I have questions about it. Well, you're questioning what God says. And you're having a disagreement with what God says in His Word. No matter how small or great your sin, you must confess it freely to God. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We must right away keep a short account with God. We should not let transgressions build up if we have trespassed God and we know it. See, here's the problem. Is that we've trespassed against God and we know it. And it doesn't bother us. That's the problem today. Transgress, it's no big deal to transgress against God. No big deal to disregard the Word of God. No big deal to do whatever we want. I can just confess it later. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So we're talking about people that are getting saved here. People that were repenting that their sins would be blotted out. And you know, we have so many things that are happening in our world today and so many things and we're so consumed with that. But we are many times in a place where there's been a transgression against God, whether willful or ignorant. And we do not confess it when we become aware of it. True repentance from the heart comes forth as a humble pleading with the Savior. And we see that in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Psalm 32 and verse number 5 tonight. Psalm 32, 5. This is a great passage of Scripture to memorize and to even pray it. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Oh, isn't that the truth, what we do? We hide it. We bury it. Hide it in our heart. You know, we can hide God's word in our heart, and we can hide our iniquity in our heart, too. We can cover it up. We can hide it. But he says, I'm not hiding it. I don't want to hide it. You know why? You know what happens when you hide something? It festers, and it turns into an ugly mess, and it turns into infection. And it pollutes your whole being. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You know, there are some that they come down to the altar and they pray to get right about something else, but they totally ignore something else that's in their life. They ignore something else that they're hiding, and they think they can get away with that. Well, I admitted this one, so I can have this one. No, that's not how it works. We should want to admit every sin, and really we have the wrong idea in our mind and our heart, if that's what we do. We must have the right idea. We must acknowledge our transgression. Don't hide anything. Look at Psalm 38, verse 18. Psalm 38, verse 18. For I will declare mine iniquity, and I will be what? Sorry, not there yet. Sorry for my sin. Sorry. Broken. So we see a theme here. If we want to get a hold of God, we got to be broken over our sin, because that's what gets in the way with our relationship with God. We see brokenness in Psalm 51. We see not hiding. And once again, we see sorry. What happens when we do something wrong in our life? Maybe it's at home, or maybe it's in a relationship, and then you hide it. It's never good when it comes out later, does it? Never works good. And especially, we can't hide anything from God. And you know what we're really doing is we're hiding it from ourselves. We're trying to soothe our conscience. I hid it. It's okay. God knows and God sees it. It's not okay. God sees everything. Are we willing to acknowledge our transgression before? If we're willing to do that, we go on to step number two. Look back at Psalm 51. We must plead with God for cleansing. Do we see our sin for what it is? What is our sin? You know, we hear sin and you think of sin. God gave us a picture of what sin is, and that is leprosy in the Bible. Leprosy was the most dreaded disease of Bible times, and it's still a dreaded disease today, though it's a little different than it was in Bible times. But leprosy is a disease where literally your body rots away slowly. Your fingertips, you will lose your fingers. Your fingers literally rot off. Your feet, your toes, parts of your skin on your body. It was just your skin literally rotted off of your body. And it was extremely contagious. And people had to live in leper colonies and had to cry, unclean, unclean. That was the law of God if they had it. And every time someone got leprosy in Israel, and I encourage you to study this. You look at the Levitical law. When someone got leprosy, it was because of sin. The judgment of God upon them for sin that was hidden wasn't hidden any longer. And so sin, do we see it for what it is? It is a disgusting, putrefied, oozing sore before God. Is an unclean thing. As a pastor, that's uncomfortable. Good. Because when we get to the idea that sin is an uncomfortable thing, then we'll start confessing and getting it out of our life. Because why? We won't want it. If we're walking with God, we shouldn't want sin. Do we see the great filthiness of it? Do we see the revolting and disgusting nature of sin to a holy God? Do we see that we are children and ambassadors of the King that are soiled in sin? What is the command? We're to walk unspotted from the world. We're to walk and to be unspotted from the world. And we're not to let, we're be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. Why? Be holy, for I am holy. There is always a separation, a difference. We're not to be like the world. But are we truly repentant or just giving passing acknowledgement to sin? Passing acknowledgement. Look at Luke 15:21. We'll come back to Psalm 51 in a moment. Do we just give it a passing acknowledgement? Well, I guess we're okay, you know. I guess I better confess it. It's not a good thing. It is a bad thing. I better confess it. And I'll confess it, and I'll just go down to the front, and I'll pray, and everything will be all fine. If that's our thought process, there's something wrong there. If we want to see God do something with our life, if we want to truly be right with God, then we're going to be broken over our sin. And you know what? We can't just go through the Baptist ritual of coming up to the front, praying, and praying 1, 2, 3, I'm praying, Lord, forgive me, and walk away unchanged. That's not true repentance. But we need to be broken over our sin. So how do we become broken? Let God do it. God will make you broken over your sin. Luke 15:21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is the prodigal son. This is brokenness. This is humbleness. He saw what his sin for what it was. He had wasted what his father had given him. He had wasted his life, had wasted his living. He had done terrible things, and now he was no more worthy to be called his son. And you know, that's when we sin, that's exactly where we are. We are no more worthy to be called the children of God because of our sin. Really be honest about it. What does our sin do? The wages of sin is death. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're saved from sin. Amen. And if we are finally, if we find ourselves in the depths of sin and we're ensoiled with sin, we are no more worthy to be called the sons of God, but yet God forgives us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? The mercy of God. It's amazing. We don't deserve it. Oh, the day that we say, well, I deserve God's mercy. Oh, you're setting yourself up for a big problem. When we say, oh, I'm worthy of God's forgiveness, then we are proud. God wants the truth from us. Look at verse number 6 of Psalm 51. What did David want? To behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Interesting. Being honest with yourself brings wisdom. Amen. Being honest about what's on the inside brings wisdom. Enables you to receive the wisdom of God. If we're not willing to admit who we are, to admit our sin, and to admit the condition we're in, and to admit our problems, then we're never going to receive the wisdom of God. Remember, he giveth all men liberally and abradeth not. Amen. He wants to give you that wisdom. But if you say, well, I'm fine, you're in pride and you will not receive God's wisdom. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. Being purged with hyssop, as we see in the next couple of verses. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be made whiter than snow. We're purged with the hyssop of God's Holy Spirit. And washed by the living word of God. But do you want to be clean? Do you want to be free from the bonds of sin? Well, yes, I do. We must acknowledge your sin. We must plead to God for cleansing. Now, number 3, we must plead with God for forgiveness. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. This goes along with verse number 7. God sees and all and knows all. And we are not hiding anything from him. He will forgive. He will always forgive. But he will only forgive the truly repentant. If you come down here and you're just putting on a show, he's not going to forgive. If you go before God, oh, I'm just going to do my thing. And just so I get right, so my conscience is soothed. God is not interested in soothing your conscience. Amen. God is not interested. God is interested in doing right. God's interested in being truly repentant. God is interested in, hey, you being honest with him about what's going on in your life. You know, most of us have a communication problem with God. We're not willing to be honest with him. You know what we're praying and the Lord, you know, it's mentioning it. And when you pray, the Lord points out something in your life. Amen. And he said, well, this is a problem. No, it's not. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. Right? We've all done this and then you get, and then guess what? You know, it's like you got touched with the finger of God, then he presses it down. That's a problem. You need to get that right. You know what? We have a choice to make. Oh, that's not a problem. We're either going to hide it, close down and hide it, or we're going to admit it. So, Lord, cleanse me from it. Help me. Forgive me, and he will. Are you pleading with the Lord with a broken and contrite heart? Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one. Isn't that a great name of God? The high and lofty one. That inhabiteth eternity. Man, the great adjective here. We can learn a lot from writing here. But the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Isaiah knew how to describe God, didn't he? We see that in chapter 6, I'm high and lifted up. After that, you'll see Isaiah reference after that point that many times he references God in a high and lifted up way after chapter 6. Now, we come one that inhabits eternity whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So if we have any ounce of pride in us, revival's not going to come. If you're not willing to be broken over your sin, you're not willing to weep over your sin, you're not willing to confess your sin, then you're never going to see revival in your life. Never. Because we're shutting off God's path to blessing. We are shutting off God's path for us to Him. We're standing in the way of God's fellowship with us when we do that. Are we willing to acknowledge our transgression, to plead with God for cleansing, to plead for forgiveness? And the Lord will create a clean heart. Look back at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now, verse 8. Now after, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 7. Now what happens in verse number 8? Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Now, a right spirit means a right attitude. A right attitude towards God, a right attitude towards the things of God, a right attitude towards prayer, a right attitude towards His Word, and that He restores that right attitude, our viewpoint, our outlook, if you will, our worldview. When we become into sin and we step into that place and we get in the flesh, our whole worldview changes. Our viewpoint is skewed. It is incorrect. But then when we ask God, renew that right spirit within me, let the Holy Spirit reign, and we're no longer quenching the Spirit, our viewpoint is totally different. We don't have a rebellious viewpoint anymore. We don't have a rebellious attitude. We look at the things of God with pleasure and with desire instead of saying, well, I don't want that. So, well, I don't want to pray, I don't want my Bible, I don't want this or that, then you're in a major problem because you're not right with God. You're in the flesh then when you don't desire God's things. And that should be alarming. Oh, that's just normal. A lot of churches today, oh, that's just normal. No, that should be alarming. Because that's not how God created us to be. He will create a clean heart in you. He will do it. Because a heart needs to be cleansed. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? This does not happen with just reforming our actions. Look at Acts 15, verse 9. Well, I'm just doing right. I'll just start acting right and living right and everything. You know, you talk to people that are going to get saved and they are thinking about it and you present the gospel to them. Well, I'm not going to get saved because I'll never be able to live it. And you know what I tell people? Well, you're absolutely right. That's not why you get saved. Because if you could live it, then you wouldn't need us. You wouldn't need the gospel. You wouldn't need God if you could live it. You can't live it. None of us can. But when we get saved, then God enables us to. Amen. Gives that desire. See, when we look at it in that way, unfortunately, a lot of people look at revival that way. Oh, revival is not going to come because I'll just never be able to be that holy. I'll never be able to get rid of that sin, so revival will never come. Well, you're right about that, but you're wrong about something that God can take that away. What you're really doing is saying, God, I'm stubborn, I'm going to sit in my sin, and I don't care that it's against you. That's what we're saying when we think those things and we have those attitudes. Look at Acts 15 and verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? Faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. Not reformation, but God does something. God does not leave even the tiniest particle of sin when He is done. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. When He cleanses completely. You know, sometimes we have work days and we have cleaning days where we clean things. And some people are gifted with cleaning and some people are not. Some things are really clean. Some thing said, did they even do anything to it? I saw someone over there, but it looks the same. That actually looks worse. No, that doesn't happen. It's a pastor. I'm never coming to cleaning day again. No. But that's true. That's what happens. But God, because he is perfect, when he cleanses completely. Doesn't leave any sin there. Oh, I'm going to leave the sin for you to play with, this little pet sin to play with. No, he takes it all away. The Lord will restore the joy of being saved. Look back at Psalm 51. Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Verse 8, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Now, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now, this is a formula for soul winning. If you're going to go win souls, make sure you're right with God first. You're never going to be able to win a soul to Christ if you're right with God. You're never going to be able to win someone to Christ until you are ready to go. We see that. David said, then I can go and teach transgressors thy ways. Then I can go and minister. Now I can go and share. You need to be right first. God works in spite of us sometimes, though. I mean, I led people to Christ. I wasn't even saved. It was God doing it, not me. But if you want to see God's blessing and God's fruit, you better be ready when you go out. You know, we just show up and we knock on some doors. Well, no one answered the door today. I guess no one got saved. I guess that's just it. Were you right? Were you right? And sometimes when we are, the Lord chooses not to bring fruit at that time. And we must wait in him for that. But always ask the question, Lord, am I right? Oh, it wasn't me. It was those people. No, we make sure you're right. Always make sure we're in the right place. God will restore the joy of being saved. The Lord will give us the desire to tell others. Now, I want to focus on something here at the very end. This wasn't a part of my original message, but the Lord laid it on my heart. Now, we see here in the last several verses, verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Now, this doesn't make any sense because it was customary for a transgression, for a sin, to bring an offering to God, a burnt offering, as a sign of repentance and as a offering for forgiveness of sin. But God doesn't want that. This doesn't make any sense. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now, verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So what God wants is not just for us when we've done wrong to come down to the altar and give a sacrifice. All done. And then we go on our merry way. No, God first wants the broken spirit before we get to the altar. And then he still wants us to come to the altar, amen? He wants us to come, but he wants us to come when we're in the right place. And you know, we look at the altar as a place of contriteness and brokenness, and it is. And we should come there in the right spirit. But I want us to look at it in this way. I said, well, Pastor, but I'm doing fine. I'm doing right. I'm living right. I'm doing right. I've got all the right standards. I've got all the right. I'm living a separated life. That's great. You're bringing your sacrifice to the altar. That's great. But is your spirit right? Because we can be doing all the right things with the wrong spirit. We can be doing all the right things with the wrong attitude. We can be doing all the right things, but still be just as not right with God as the heathen down the street. Well, all these new clubs opening up and all that, oh, that's just terrible sin. But we can be sitting in the pew, living right, doing right, having all these things. But I'm doing right. Doing right does not always equate with being right. Because we can fake it. Right? We can have the right standards. I mean, we can We can dress right and have all those things. And we read our Bible every day and pray and all of these things. But still, we can be bringing our sacrifice to the altar, but not have the broken and contrite spirit that God wants. We're quick to confess our sin, but is it a mechanical confession, or is it really a brokenness and a seriousness over the sin you've committed? And that's easy for us to do. That's very easy for us to get into this mentality of mechanical Christianity. Some people call it, and some preachers have called it, utilitarian Christianity. A Christianity that begins to flow into it centered around me and what I think and what I like instead of what God wants and what God desires out of me. Well, I do this because I like it, and I like this and I like that. You know what? We don't have an opinion. We go by God's opinion and what God commands. Because remember, we're a bondservant to Christ, as Paul said. He was a bondservant. And it's really great. You know, we stress so much about what's going on with our life, but we're bought with a price. We're a bondservant to Christ. And here are some things that bondservants don't have to worry about. A bondservant has no life of his own, has no will of his own. Oh, Pastor, I don't like that. If we're following God's will, not our will. But also, with that, he has no worries of his own. Amen. Amen. Really think about that. Think about that for a minute. If we have no life that we get to live on our own, no, we live it for God. And we have no will of our own, no, we live to do God's will, then we'll have no worries of our own. Amen? Because God takes care of it all. That'll bring us a lot less stress in our life. Amen. I was talking to somebody, couple weeks ago, and we're just talking about, you know, life and things like that. So where I come from, there is no stress. I didn't know stress until I came to America. Isn't that the truth? I think America has a monopoly on stress, right? I think we need to not stress as much, and how about we spend some more time with the Lord? And we stress so much about things going on, so many things going on around us. We need to spend some more time with God. But are we right? Are we doing right? Oh, Pastor, I look okay, but is your heart broken? You have that contrite spirit? God wants that first. Are you willing to admit your sin, to admit your transgression? If we're willing to admit and we're willing to get right and we're willing to cry out to God, then revival comes. When God touches a life and forgives the sin and brings the joy again and brings the power upon that life again, that's when revival happens. And then when that comes, you don't want to go back. Amen? And then what happens when revival comes to the church? Other people get saved. Other people see what's going on. God uses us to see other people saved. You know, we talk about revival a lot. And revival that we see in churches, and that's well and good, and, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 decisions in the church, that's well and good, but revival that would have been seen in the past, they transformed whole communities. Whole communities got saved and right with God. The beer hall shut down. Wouldn't that be great if all those clubs down the street just shut down? They ran out of people. Amen. They've got more people than they can hold. That's why they keep opening new ones, and that's sad. I tell you what, I was out this evening, before I got home, I was at HEB, and today's Valentine's Day, guys. Too late if you forgot, okay? It's too late. I don't believe in the paganness of it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with showing your sweetheart that she's special, I hope, amen. But I was there, and I was in line, and you know what I saw more than anything else? Beer. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, 12 packs, 24 packs, beer and vodka and all this stuff. I was like, what is this national? Is it Valentine's Day? Is it get drunk with your date day or what? But that's sad. I've never seen it. I've been out on Valentine's Day before. I've never seen that before. It was just everybody in line. I was looking at 5-6 aisles, all the people in front of me. Every single one of them had some kind of alcoholic beverage on them. Every one. And I already know that there's a big alcohol problem in the Killeen and in the Army, and we know that. But it just, when you see it, it just breaks your heart. How many homes are being destroyed by that? We need revival in our country. You know, most preachers are afraid to get up and say that alcohol is a rotten, dirty, rotten sin and it's wrong. That's a sad thing. There's still a lot of people that do say it's wrong. Amen? And not because I think it's wrong, because God says it's wrong right here. If I get up here and start preaching personal opinion, then I'm no longer a preacher. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm still a preacher when I'm preaching out of this book and what God says. Do we want to have revival? Do we want to have revival in our hearts? We should. Then, revival comes and we have that, and then we forgot the lesson we learned, how we got there. Sin comes, sin doesn't get confessed, it goes right back to where we were. That's what happens. We're on fire for God for 2 days. And then, back where we were. Well, I guess it wasn't real. I guess it wasn't anything. I guess it just wasn't real. I guess it was just my emotions. I guess it was this. I guess it was that. Because you forgot the steps of how you got there. You have to live by them every day. Amen? Getting right with God. Realizing that your transgression, because guess what? We're not going to live a day. You know, well, I take that back. There might be some days that we go without sinning, but it's going to be a rare thing. Amen? There's going to be sin that comes. Now, I'm not like some people that say, well, you just can't help but sin. Okay, I'm not talking sin that's perfection either, but I believe there's a balance there. If we're walking with God, then we'll say we're not going to sin. Amen? But we make mistakes. We're ignorant. We do things. We make mistakes. Amen? And you know what? For those mistakes, well, that was just a mistake of ignorance, so I guess I'm off the hook. No! Are we just as broken over that because we've offended the holy God of heaven? Whether knowingly or ignorantly. And when we get to that place of God, create that clean heart in me again, and guess what? He will. And we keep going on. We think revival is this thing that overtakes us, and we really, Pentecostals have done a great disservice to people because they really think that they overcome with the Spirit and then we're just like super Christian. No. It's getting your desires realigned with God's. Getting your heart realigned with His Word. Getting your heart realigned of what sin is. There is so much that we do, that sin, that we don't like to call sin. Oh, it's not sin. Preference. That's my personal preference, Pastor. That's just what I believe. Doesn't make it right if it violates God's Word. You know what? Because there's more than one problem there. When you say, well, that's just, I'm not convicted, but oh, I just don't believe that, Pastor. Well, if God's Word says it and you don't believe it, that's a major problem. Because that means it's not that you're disagreeing with the person that you're talking to, you're disagreeing with the pastor. You're disagreeing with God, and that's a serious problem. Because I believe someone named Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for disagreeing with God. And his host of angels got kicked out of heaven because they disagreed with God. And they sided with somebody over here. You see the Bible full of people that disagreed with God. And not one of them did it end well for them. Never ended well for him. And God doesn't want us to go that direction. When we come to the place that whatever you say, dear Lord, I will do. Whatever you call sin, it is sin, and I have done it. Maybe we like to call sin sin, but when it comes to another thing, when we have to admit that we did it. Admit it. Your transgression. Call out to God. Have that broken and contrite spirit, that sorriness, that repentant heart, and God will forgive. And He will then restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You know what? When we're in sin, we're not excited about being saved. You know, we should be excited every single day that we're saved. Amen? We're on our way to heaven. And you know what? We're out there working today and the last couple days and getting all this. You know, we're getting the house of God looking good. But just think about what God's house up in heaven, what it's going to look like. Amen? I mean, this building is just temporary. It's not permanent. It's not going to be there forever, but God's heavenly city will be there forever and ever. Are we looking forward to going there? You know, and we're talking, hey, this is going to last another 20, 30 years. I begin to think, is Jesus coming back before then? I said, Lord, I would hate to do all this and you come back tomorrow. But if he does, it's okay. He knows. But that, do we live with the reality that Jesus could come back at any moment? Any moment. In the next 5 seconds. And you know what? I remember I was at camp and someone preached that God could come back in the next 5 minutes, in the next 2 minutes, in the next minute. And you know, that scared me. I was terrified. Because would I go with him when he comes? And I didn't know. That terrified me. And you know what? It terrified me. You know, it doesn't terrify me anymore. Once I got saved, it doesn't terrify me anymore. It's exciting. But if that terrifies you, I want to talk to you tonight. I want to show you from God's Word how you can nail down your salvation, because that shouldn't terrify you. That should be a joy to you. But are we willing to, are we ready? Are we willing to take the steps? Are we willing to say, God, you do your work in me? If we are, and revival. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you be with your invitation time. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this evening. And Lord, that we be ready for revival to come. Lord, we need reviving so that we might be right with thee, so that we might see others saved, see others revived. Lord, you want to work in our hearts. I want to work in our life. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct this invitation time. And Lord, I pray that we have that broken and contrite spirit that you seek for, Lord. As your word says, you will not despise. You will not turn it away. But you welcome it, Lord. I pray that we would be broken tonight. Be willing to intercede on others' behalf, Lord, but also that we would be willing to come down and admit at the altar our transgression before thee with an open heart. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.